All right, back chatting with Rick Limpert. I've been away, and after a brief sabbatical, here we are once again, back where we belong. And Rick, you have been not too long ago, in fact, just recently this past week up in Chicago for the National Sports Collectors Convention. I don't want to say that this is hog heaven and ground zero for you, but it is a place that I know that you like to enjoy and an event you look forward to and an ever-increasing event in terms of its size and scope. I know it's a place that you like to be.
It was interesting, Sully. It's a unique event. It is a blast. This was the 40th year of this show I've attended. It's been in Atlanta a couple times. I've been in other cities for it. And it's just it's the Super Bowl of sports memorabilia, sports collecting, anything to do with vintage and modern day sports items. And it's just it's really something. Over 600 exhibitors and dealers from around the country. There'll be almost in Chicago 50,000 people going through the show this week. And I was there for the first 3 days.
There is a little bit of a nerdiness factor, too, when we scope it down to memorabilia and collecting. But there is really a passion and quite a community when we get into these event spaces and really a fellowship among people who have a passion for this sort of thing. And it really is archiving so much of history in these memorable moments and personalities and athletes that have been a part of our lives over the decades and over the centuries.
Yeah, I mean, sports really creates memories, and that's what people have a lot of pleasant memories of sports, and that's what these items kind of represent. The convention center is huge. It's as far as you can see, sports items. And you're right, there is an interesting element to the crowd. You have collectors, you have kids, you have people that are just window shopping, walking around, but then you also have investors, people looking to invest in sports items, and these have proven over the years to be really high return items for a lot of people, and that's available at the show as well too. So I kind of have fun with all different aspects of the show: the collecting, investing, mm-hmm. maybe trying mm-hmm. to flip some products for profit, and then covering the show with my journalistic exploits.
Well, just taking a look at the website, nsccshow.com is their official website for the National Sport Collectors Convention. And you always kind of look to what is happening at the time of the actual event. What's going on sports-wise at the time of the event? Hall of Fame inductions happening in baseball, and I noticed that Mariano Rivera has a picture that is front and center here, and I'm sure his name was being thrown around quite a bit in the convention hall this past week.
Yeah, it really was, because he's going into the Hall of Fame, and doesn't really do autograph signings. He doesn't do autographs. This is really one of the first times that he's making his autograph available for collectors. So that's a big deal. It's pretty expensive, but if you're a diehard collector, or you're a person that's got to have a complete all the Hall of Famers on an autograph on something, this is going to be the way you get it. So that's big. There's a whole autograph pavilion, actually, where they run in probably almost 150 people throughout the week that are hard autographs to get. The autograph community, Sully, is a huge deal in sports, in Hollywood, in presidential artifacts. So actually, I had the opportunity to talk to Steve Grad. He's the authenticator for autographs for Beckett. He's the guy on Pawn Stars that authenticates things. I had 10 minutes with him. Really interesting. He's there spotting fakes. He's there authenticating things. And, he's there really kind of as the protector of the hobby as far as and the business as far as keeping things legit. And I'll post another interview with him. Or I had an interview actually last week with him up on the site that ran, and a lot of interesting tidbits for him. If you're worried about fakes and you're worried about authentic things, if you're buying and selling or collecting, he's got a lot of great advice.
Well, authentication and insurance, obviously a big part of what's going on, as a lot of these pieces travel from place to place to be displayed, various exhibits taking place in various museums. Sometimes some of the ballparks want to display some items, and collectors who have these things in their possessions are willing to let them be displayed. I know baseball cards are not really front and center and top of mind for a lot of people, but in terms of memorabilia and collectors, is it still as big a deal in the memorabilia world as one might think it would be?
yeah, they've come back big time after a hiatus where that industry kind of suffered in the 90s. It's back mainly due to the card companies are producing really attractive and really kind of fun cards, but also the proliferation of young Major League Baseball players, your Aaron Judges, your Acuñas for the Braves. These guys have gotten people excited again about baseball, and in turn, that makes people excited about collecting baseball things, baseball cards, baseball autographed balls, ticket stubs. So when you have exciting players or an exciting brand of a sport, which we've had in the NBA for a while and NFL for a while, that really helps this particular industry, gets people really excited.
It is just amazing. How many people attend this event every year, and how much has it grown in the time that you've been following this event around?
It's grown. It's gone up and down depending on what city it's in or, like I said, what the economy is. So almost 50,000 people, I think, are expected this week. It's a lot of middle-aged men, Sully, wearing baseball jerseys and hats that are there having a good time. But it's really a vibrant community. You don't see any arguments at a show like this. You don't see any people raising voices. You don't see any fights. It's a crowd that gets along, that supports each other. There's people that give away things to kids to get them encouraged. It's just really a friendly community where people support each other's endeavors. They help each other out. If you see something that maybe a friend has been searching for, and maybe you pick that up for them and resell it to them or give it to them. So it's a really interesting dynamic. It's a really fan-friendly show. Kids get in free, and I can't say enough about how fun it is.
And, yeah, probably not very long lines to get into the ladies' room based on some of the demographics that you might see walking around the hall there. You mentioned the authenticators and the insurance agents that are there kind of keeping an eye on everything and protecting their investments. But investors themselves, a big part of this, people looking to buy and perhaps save for the future and hang on to pieces of memorabilia. What are some of the hot items that people are going after and looking at as potential things to hang on to for decades to come that they think might be worth something 50, 60 years from now?
Well, some of these things are worth something right now, and they go up in value every year. So game-worn or game-used equipment and jerseys, Sully, is huge. If you can have those autographed, that's huge. When athletes pass away, a lot of times their families will consign to auctions a lot of their memorabilia, trophies, jerseys and such. That's available here. Those are very popular. Getting a piece of an athlete that maybe you admired or followed, anything autographed, and then anything that's old, vintage, 50 years or more old, that are age 50 years or older, those are very popular, including baseball cards from, now there's over 100-year-old baseball cards out there. Anything with the big names, your Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, Ted Williams, those type of things, anything associated with those people, Mickey Mantle, is very popular and increases in value very quickly.
The 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle baseball card sold for $1.13 million and is now estimated to be worth $2.5 million. I don't see in this particular piece when it was last sold, but the most valuable baseball card of all time is the T206 Honus Wagner from 1909, which was most recently sold for $3 million. It's now worth some $7.5 million. Just amazing to think that somebody would be willing to pay that much for a small piece of printed paper.
Yeah, they had a couple at the show. There's about 70 or so in existence, Sully, that we know of or people know of. They had a few at the show. I was able to get within a couple inches of one. It was behind a glass case, but it's still amazing to see something that's worth that amount of money and something that is really an icon of the whole industry. It's the holy grail of the industry. So my eyes get wide at stuff like that.
40th National Convention of the Sports Collectors Convention wrapping up today in Chicago. Where is the next one taking place next year? Have they decided?
Yeah, well, maybe a place you've been to a few times. It'll be in Atlantic City, believe it or not, next year. Same dates. They rotated around a little bit, close to New York and the East Coast people. So it'll take over Atlantic City next year.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to it and glad to be back in action with you, Rick. Always good to catch up.
Sully, anytime. We'll talk again soon.